It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz Sandy Springs.
Well, good morning and welcome to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. Man, just so much going on this week. If you would have started this week knowing that we'd have issues with emerging markets and we'd have the G7, which could now, according to French President Macron, threatening to make it the G6, would you really, and more tariffs from Mexico? Would you think that the market would be up almost 3%? So Dow Jones this week up 2.77%, S&P 500 up 1.5%. And there are just continued, the wall of worry continues to grow, quite frankly. We've got the, if you think of the wall of worry that Wall Street has to get over and kind of overcome, there are a lot of bricks in that wall, and we keep adding new bricks. Yet, here we are, markets really kind of shaking that off for the Dow, now slightly positive on the year, up 2%. S&P 500 up over 3.5%. But I want to talk about a topic today, and this is, I think, very appropriate for this time of year, that has been very much a seesaw year, where we had a wonderful start to the year, almost too good. Then we went into a full correction mode, and then we've kind of just bounced back and forth and up and down throughout. You know, here we are in kind of the middle of the year, still kind of going nowhere, yet the economy looks very, very good. And I want to talk about the difference between the economy and the stock market, because they don't always work together. What happens when there's a disconnect between the stock market and the economy? And by the way, we're going to go over some history that happened two dozen times since 1950. I have I'm not going to go through two dozen examples, but I went through two dozen examples this week about when we see a disconnect, and to some extent, what we're seeing today. We have another case of this happening right now today, and that's the topic here on Money Matters. What happens when you see a disconnect between the stock market and the economy? And oh, by the way, who wins the race, or at any given time, who's winning the race? Mr. Market, S&P 500, Dow Jones, or the economy? And when we look at the economy, so we're going to talk about what happens when one of the two kind of starts to separate themselves in this long, if you think of them racing each other, Mr. Market, Mr. Economy, what happens when there's a divide between the two? So let's start out with this, 2018 GDP numbers. Federal Reserve Bank, just this week, the Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta, which, by the way, kind of holds the torch on seeing where we're headed from a GDP perspective. They have a forecasting model that most of America looks to. So it's the Federal Reserve right here in Atlanta. Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta just released their GDP estimate for the second quarter of 2018. Where do they think we're headed? Their latest forecast, 4.6%. We're talking about over 4.5% growth for this massive $20 trillion economy that we all live in. That's a major, major step. And it's a big change and a long way away from the 1.9% that we've kind of averaged over. We've gotten so used to that all the way back since the Great Recession. So again, and we spent months about talking about this, years talking about what we were calling the 39 mile per hour economy. Remember this? In America, we were used to growing at 3.1% for many, many years, for decades really, on average. And then we downshifted. Something happened. Something, it seemed like it almost cracked or broke during the Great Recession, and then the growth out of that has been been solid, but it's been slower. So we got used to 3.1%, and we downshifted to just under 2%, which is a big shift, right? And that's and that's a big part of it's a big contributor to all the angst we've seen in America that's impacted politics, the rise of populism, the rise of Bernie Sanders, the rise of Donald Trump. And a similar story has been playing out all over the globe. In Europe, Brexit, now a very different government in Italy. So this massive political turmoil and upheaval, it all happens when the economy doesn't grow like it's supposed to, or it either goes down or grows at a snail's pace. And that's really what we've been seeing for the better part of a decade here since the Great Recession. Again, it's happened here in the United States. It's happened all over the world until this past quarter. So now all of a sudden the United States looks like it's breaking out of its slumber. Let me give you a quick refresher for those of you who took economics many years ago, and maybe you forget. GDP, of course, again, widely understood, but I'm going to do a quick refresher. It's kind of the key economic indicator and measure of all of the economic activity in the United States. Gross domestic product. And this is a formula that's been branded in my head since high school when I first took economics. So GDP equals C plus I plus G plus net X. What's that? Well, it's the collective economic activity from C is the consumer. That's investment or business investment. G for government spending. And then X is for net exports, which continues to be a drag on economic growth as we import still more than we export. By the way, according to the latest trade figures, that number has actually started to improve recently, despite all of these tariff talks that we've been worried about and hearing about. But it's the culmination of all of that. It's the culmination of what the consumer's doing, what businesses are doing, what the government is spending, and then what our exports slash imports really look like. And again, the reason it's always such a focus is that ultimately it's the GDP, it's the granddaddy of all economic measures. That's what we all look to as Americans. How are we doing? What's GDP growth? Or is it negative? Or are we going into recession? That's not happening right now. We are hitting our economic stride. So if GDP moves higher at a sustainable pace over time, it means earnings for companies are able to go up and profits grow. And then the stock market will ultimately follow suit. Sounds pretty easy, right? But of course, it's more complicated than that. And you've often heard that the economy is not the stock market and vice versa. In the short run, or in the relative short run, 6 months or a year or even two, that is true. Over the long run, call this let's think about the long run as many, many years, the two do move in the same direction. So if we see significant economic expansion, it really, and this happens in any country over 20 years or 40 years or 50 years, markets will follow suit. You will see the direction of the two match each other. But then there's a divergence, and this is what we're going to talk about today. There are often major, major divergences. And those divergences can last a long time, 6 months, a year, or even more. And today, I wanted to look at some of those divergences so we can study what happens when the two kind of get out of step. And what's happened in the past when these two kind of get way out of whack, which is really what I think we're seeing today. So And this is the question that we have to continue to ask ourselves. Think of it this way. Is the economy outperforming the stock market, or is the stock market outperforming the economy? So think of this relationship as just this never-ending race. So it's like an unlimited marathon. You've got two runners. You've got Mr. Economy. You've got Mr. Market. Sometimes they're running side by side. Sometimes Mr. Economy runs ahead and after lagging behind in the race for a while, Mr. Market catches up. And of course, it works the other way as well. The market can sprint ahead, outpacing the economy. Sure enough, at some point, Mr. Economy runs out of steam, or the two kind of come back together. slows down and the two runners kind of reconverge where they change places. And it's kind of this never-ending race. What's the economy doing? What's the market doing? They eventually come back together at some point, but very often have these big divergences. But where are they right now? So where are these two runners in the race right now? And if we can identify where they are, it gives us a lot of insight into the future, or at least the next significant leg of this journey. So you're probably saying, Wes, okay, who's winning right now? Who's winning the race right now? We are in a phase right now, and I just talked about how the Atlanta Fed says second quarter growing at over 4.5% likely. We're in a phase where the Mr. Economy's winning the race. And the market has a leg cramp and it's kind of lagging behind. That's probably good news, by the way, for where the market is headed from here. And I want to go through historical examples that our team put together this week and talk about when there is a divergence like we see today, meaning that we've got an economy that's really operating on all cylinders and a stock market that's kind of gone nowhere. An economy that's really done well and heating up from here, and a stock market that's basically bounced around the flat line most of this year. Economy outpacing markets. What happens next over the next year? That's what I want to talk about here today. So, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. Stay tuned. More Money Matters right here, WSB. Straight ahead. Well, good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters, WSB Radio. Wes Moss here on a Sunday morning. I picked up a copy of the Atlanta Journal Constitution, Sunday, June 10th. By the way, $141 in coupons. On the cover, you'll see why small business chief praises agency she once mocked. Sports. A run for the ages, how Justify won the Triple Crown, and only in the AJC, marijuana in Georgia caught with pot, attitude shift, but tough laws remain. That's the Atlanta Journal-Constitution Sunday edition. And then in the business section, they switched me to the business section, which really, I think is a good idea. I've been writing for the AJC probably 8 years. It's been a long time. And I've been writing in mostly the living section I was online for many years, and then several years ago we switched to the actual paper, which I still love the paper. I still love getting my Barron's in a plastic wrap bag and I bring it into the studio. I love the Atlanta Journal-Constitution in physical paper, and I think you do too. Yeah, we all read stuff online, I get it, but maybe there's going to be this resurgence of, I want my physical paper. Anyway, in the cover of the business section, section D, I write this week about the 8 habits of people who became millionaires. One of my favorite topics are the habits of how people ultimately really build wealth. Some of this is based on the book, The Millionaire Next Door, Thomas Stanley. And take a read, take a look. Business section, Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Sunday edition. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. When we get back, we're talking about Mr. Market versus Mr. Economy when Money Matters returns.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss, certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. Ryan Ely and I are just talking about, you know, I go to Michigan in the summer with our family. Lynn's, my wife's parents are, their family is still, they're all in Michigan. They're in the Ann Arbor area, but in the summer they go over to Lake Michigan directly. If you're in Detroit or Ann Arbor, you go directly west and you hit Lake Michigan. Beautiful. You can find some cottages on the lake. And if you can find one of those, it really is pretty wonderful because Lake Michigan looks like an ocean. It's so big and it's cooler. If you're on the lake here, it's 95 degrees. There, it's still 85, but it might be 80 or 75 because of the breeze and the ocean. And we were just talking about whether we drive or fly. When with all the kids and all the equipment and stuff that you take on a summer vacation, let's say golf clubs, and typically we do drive. And it is a long drive, especially with four little kids. One still in diapers. And as you can imagine, this is not, you know, that's not easy. And but last summer we did the drive, and because we had so much stuff, we put on one of those big roof racks. And I don't know if it was a Thule roof rack or a Yakima or whatever the name of it is, one of those big black plastic roof racks on her big SUV. And I'm not great about taking those off when we get home. And I remember maybe a week later looking in her car and thinking, well, where'd the roof rack go? And I thought to myself, am I going crazy? Did I take it off? And then I went to Lynn and I said, did you take the roof rack off? Because I, again, not thinking that she would do that. And I forgot to tell you, I was in a parking lot the other day. It didn't quite fit. And as I drove out of the parking lot, it just exploded. And it was just ripped off the roof because the parking deck was so low. And I said, what'd you do with it? Why? She said, I just kept driving. She just kept going. And the roof rack is just gone. I'm not going to tell you what parking lot it is, but there is a nice roof rack just ripped off of her car. A week later, that's what it's like. Life with four children, that conversation is so unimportant. It doesn't even come up until a week later. Oh, I totally forgot to tell you. I just ripped the roof rack off the top of the car. Anyway, I'm glad Ryan Ely reminded me of that, because if we're going to go to a mission again, I got to get a new roof rack. You know, I would think the components that hold it down are still on there. So maybe I just need to get the rack top. Anyway, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Wes Moss here on a Sunday morning, just trying to deal with the same things you deal with in life, whether it's a bunch of kids or a bunch of grandkids. We all go through this same stuff, and we're all looking for a way to stay cool in the summer. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. What we're talking about here today is this disconnect between the market and the economy, and how the two over time should basically work together. If you have a good, strong economic, if you have an economy that's growing, GDP growth is up 2 to 4% a year over, let's call it 2 decades. Well, guess what? You're going to see good equity markets, of course. It happens here. It happens in every country. But if you get a period of time where there's a disconnect where, and we know this during bubbles, if the market outpaces the economy, and the market's doing really well, but the economy is kind of flatlining, what's happening? You're basically having a bubble get created. And typically in that race, the market falls back to meet the economy. But there are also times, and this is the kind of the period that we're in today, where the economy is doing really well and the market isn't really keeping up. And as you can imagine, and this is typically good news, and I'm going to go through some scenarios here where we did a research study this week. The Money Matters team, Ryan Ely and I, looked through all of this and went through many scenarios, and Robert Sanders on our team as well, went through all of these different scenarios and tried to figure out what happens next, because we're in one of those phases where there's a big disconnect today. The Atlanta Fed just said, hey, we think we're growing at 4.6% gross domestic product over the next year. Well, that's a massive rate of growth for an economy our size, yet the market hasn't really kept up. And we're going to go through some of those examples. So good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Also, I want to go to the phones here. We have a brand new phone system here at WSB. It looks very fancy. We'll see if we can work it, but we need to give it a whirl. So phone lines open on this brand new system. And the number in the studio is 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. So if you want to just give us a call and tell me where I can find a good roof rack, that would be great, number one. Or if it has anything to do with investments, finance, whether it's a real estate question, a lending question, a college question, or a pension question where you say, Wes, I'm thinking about taking this lump sum. The company is offering me a monthly amount or just one big lump sum. Which is better? What's a better deal for our family? And there's a lot of variables, by the way, in that question or that equation. Does the pension meet the 6% test? If it doesn't, you probably want to take the lump sum. And we can go through that here, right here on Money Matters in the Morning. If it's an investment question, maybe you have mutual funds that aren't doing anything, or money sitting in cash, and now we've talked about interest rates going way up, and if your cash is sitting there doing nothing, well, what are some of those options? What are some of the things you can do with cash? Maybe you're thinking about switching from mutual funds into ETFs or individual companies or individual stocks. All perfect topics here for a Sunday morning, and we love taking your calls. It's the most fun part of Money Matters for Ryan and I. We come in here every Sunday morning, love to get calls from you and try to help guide you in an objective direction. We believe we are still the most objective financial radio show in the nation. And we've been on a very, very long time, and we continue to give you what we believe is the most objective advice you'll find on radio. And we love to do that. So give us a call here in the studio, whether you're here in the state of Georgia, or you're listening from Texas or California or Michigan, the great state of Michigan, where we're driving up to at some point in the summer, Pennsylvania, North Carolina. Love to take your calls and answer your questions. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. It's 404-872-0750. Or outside of Georgia, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Again, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Talk, and we'll go to the phones here in just a minute. So with that, let's go back to this disconnect that we see right now happening in this unlimited marathon, really. Two runners. You've got Mr. Economy. They're always trying to move forward. And then you've got Mr. Market. Sometimes they're running side by side. Sometimes Mr. Economy runs ahead. And after lagging behind in the race for a while, Mr. Market catches up. That may be where we're headed today. So we're in a phase where, again, economy is outpacing markets. The market is kind of lagging behind, which may be good news. And we're going to go through some of these examples. First, how do I want to measure this? How did our team measure the historical examples? Well, first, it's not just about GDP growth. We have to look at earnings. So earnings for the main measure we looked at here, earnings for the 500 largest companies in the United States, S&P 500 earnings. I think that's an even more fair way to see if the economy is doing well or not so well. So in our study, we used earnings as a proxy for the economy. More specifically, the ratio of price to earnings. We've talked about it here many times on the show, valuation effectively. What are we paying for earnings? AKA the market's PE, price divided by earnings. That's really how you measure equity markets. Fortunately, we have historic values to be able to do all this, and we can use this ratio for the study. So if the stock market goes up, that means the PE ratio typically, if the market goes up, and the PE ratio declines, it's an indicator that the economy is moving at a faster clip than stock prices are. Remember, PE is a ratio. So when the E, which is the denominator, goes way up, earnings go up, the ratio itself declines or can decline. This would essentially be the case when Mr. Economy is winning the race and Mr. Market's lagging behind. Those are the examples we wanted to get to. We found 18 cases where this happened, going back to 1954. 18 cases when stock prices went up, yet that PE ratio declined. That meant earnings and the economy were going up at a faster pace than the market. What's the market then usually do? Well, the next year, it typically plays catch up. And that's exactly where we might be right now. In a year where earnings are doing awesome, up 20% year over year. And part of that is tax reform, right? We know that the tax rates, effective tax rates went down for S&P 500 companies. That means they have higher profits. They're able to keep more after taxes. But we're also at a new baseline, and we're also growing from here. So earnings are up 20%, yet the market this year, so far in 2018, here we are in the middle of the year, is only up a few percentage points. The economy is really outpacing the S&P 500 right now. In 16 out of the last 18 times this happened, the next year for stocks was strong. Average gain the following year, 12.5%. Maximum of almost 38%. Worst case scenario, down 10. And that's where we find ourselves today. That's where we find ourselves today. We're going to continue to talk about these numbers and give you some case scenarios. And we're going to look at 1984 when this happened. We're going to look at 1988 when this happened. We're going to look at 1994 when this happened. And then what happened that next year? GDP strong, earnings strong, and then but markets not necessarily that strong. What happened the next year? We're going to go over some of those numbers. We've got to go. I do want to go to the phones, though. So, Ryan, where do we head on this brand new screening software? We're going to head to line, I believe that's a 6. Let's see if this works. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. This is Wes. It's a brand new phone. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you just fine.
Jean in Athens, good morning. What's going on? How can I help?
Good morning. I'm interested in playing around with individual stocks with vehicles online, but I realize that there are some that are easier to use for novices than others, and that's basically why I'm calling. I can't afford to be too aggressive on this because my husband and I are in retirement right now, but I'd like to do it for my own enjoyment and to make hopefully a little bit of money and mostly to learn.
So you're saying you'd like to, I don't think you really mean that. You're not really playing around, right? Because this is real money. So
this is real money, yes, but I don't plan to invest a tremendous amount, just, you know, a little bit here and there and learn.
I think it's a wonderful idea. I think that whether you are 20, Gene, or you are 50, it doesn't matter. I think that it is always really important to own individual companies because you get a sense of what that individual company is doing. You can follow the earnings. You get to know what they do, what their product line is, what their revenue is. So I love that idea, and I'll give you a couple. We've got to run to a quick break. I'll give you a couple of places to go to be able to get this going. So hang on, Gene. I don't even know how to put you on hold. I'll give it a shot. And Money Matters, we'll continue the conversation when Money Matters returns. Stay tuned. More Money Matters right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. I'm going to go right back to the phones here. And I'm going to go back to Gene. Hey, Gene. Wes here. I keep saying the new phone system. I feel like I'm picking up the phone, literally. Okay, so Gene, you were asking about how to get going with individual stocks.
Yeah.
And you said you wanted to play around. You don't mean that. That's real money, whether it's $5,000 or $50,000. By the way, how much are you thinking about playing around with?
$5,000 to $10,000.
Not a ton. Here's couple thoughts. One, the cost to trade has gone down dramatically. So pretty much anywhere you go, trading is, I'm not going to say it's free, but it's getting close to free. Schwab is $4.95, so let's call it $5 to do a trade, less than that. So I would use either a Schwab or Fidelity. I think they're both great when it comes to individual companies. Two, I love ETFs and individual stocks. So I want you to own both, get a feel for the two. You may like it buying ETFs versus individual companies. I think both are important to have. The ETF, of course, is a basket. It can be a specific basket of a certain kind of stock, and of course, individual companies. So those are the two options you have. And then there are two books I would have you read on this. One, of course, if you've listened to Money Matters, you've heard me talk about Retire Sooner Than You Think. Of course, that's my book, and I talk about in there. So I have some examples of individual ETFs that you can take a look at. I know I talk about the utility ETF, XLU. And then, of course, a couple different individual companies to get to start with that. The second, and that's You Can Retire Sooner Than You Think. The second book is called The Single Best Investment. It's written by Lowell Miller. So this is, again, a book that I've read and subscribed to this theory. The single best investment, creating wealth with dividend growth by Lowell Miller. Of course, you can find it on Amazon or anywhere online. I love this book, Gene, because it really goes through a lot of different stock-specific examples that and shows you the power of dividend growth, which I love. And it gives you charts, it gives you examples, lots of different companies. And I would highly encourage you to read The Single Best Investment. In addition to, you can retire sooner than you think. A lot ahead, a lot of great calls ahead in the 10 o'clock hour. We're talking about the economy versus the stock market, which one is winning, which one is not, who plays catch up. All when Money Matters returns right here, News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.